story of killing and government action now closer to home. Time passes, and events that grip a nation with incomparable grief lose their grip. People, if they can, move on. It is the healing nature of grief to enable us to move on, but that very same quality can render it impossible to act in response to events that may, for some, demand action, correction, a fix, some preventive measures to keep those events from happening again. Well, when the U.S. hostages were taken at the embassy in Tehran back in 1979, the nation was horrified. Then it settled into a stage of stalemate and frustration, a superpower hobbled by Iran, nothing to be done. As a way of maintaining the urgency and keeping the events from losing their grip on the nation, news networks looked for ways to underscore that the crisis was still going on. One of the most memorable, CBS anchor Walter Cronkite counting the days on screen each day the hostages were held.
And that's the way it is. Tuesday, January 20th, 1981, a day that began as the 444th day of captivity and ended as the first day of freedom for the American hostages in Iran.
That number of days, helped make tangible this frustrating, heartbreaking news story over that long 444 days. Well, the magazine Slate is trying to do something like this in a much more elaborate way using modern data visualization techniques, a way to show that Americans are being held hostage by something quite different than Iran, by gun violence. They're collecting data on every person killed due to a firearm, their name, age, gender, where it took place, when, since the horrible deaths at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. And they're asking the public to help them. So far, Slate has recorded more than 1,600 deaths just since Newtown. But it is the way the data is presented graphically that is the real story here. Dan Coyce is a senior editor at Slate and a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. He's working on this crowdsourcing project at Slate. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks, John.
So, Dan, you know, you spent a lot of time compiling this data, taking it from various sources, acquiring it from a kind of crowdsourced strategy for assembling all this information. What was your impression of the information as it came in numbers? And then what's your impression of the same information once it's translated into the graphic that's on your Slate website?
The information comes in dribs and drabs. You know, it's tweeted at Gun Deaths, who is the Twitter user who's our partner on this project. It comes in via tips to our email. It comes in just from us searching various news sources. And so each one of those individual stories, each one is usually sad and tragic or shocking, but you don't get a sense of the overall effect. But then once it's assembled into this interactive that we have on Slate, the overwhelming sense, I think, is that of shock at seeing the bodies piling up week by week, row by row, to the point that a month and a half after Newtown, we are now up to over 1,500 deaths from guns just that we are able to count.
And we could play with this data in ways, and I don't mean play in a whimsical sense, but we've got, what do we got, four, five, six plane crashes full of deaths so far?
Yeah, I guess it depends how big the plane is. If it's a Dreamliner, it's maybe only four. But yes, an easy way to think of it is basically every day Newtown happens and then some. And so in seeing these bodies, big bodies and little bodies lined up row by row, 40 or 50 or 60 rows of 22 bodies each at this point, you get a real sense, I think, in a way that you get at the moment you hear about a shooting like Newtown, you get that sense over and over again of sort of the overwhelmingness of this issue.
I mean, I'm outraged by gun violence in Chicago. I'm outraged by Newtown. I'm outraged by, you know, the number of guns and their availability. I'm a gun owner myself. But in general, I think if we look at all of the shootings and the aftermath, even with data like this and visualizations like this, it's hard not to come to the conclusion that Newtown notwithstanding, yes, in America we care about kids and the safety of kids, but in general we don't care about people dying from gun violence and we don't care about the availability of guns.
But I don't know if that's true. I don't know anyone who doesn't actually care. And I think that, you can point to the many things standing in the way of making guns safer or making guns more difficult for dangerous people to get or banning guns outright, depending on what you think the right solution to this problem is. But I don't think you can put that on the feet of people not caring. I think you can put it on the feet of people feeling overwhelmed. And in that way, I sometimes worry that this interactive, while a potent visual image, maybe contributes to that sense of being overwhelmed.
Wow, that's interesting. When I look at this,
I think, God, someone needs to do something, but it doesn't immediately make me say, oh, God, here's what I could do.
Who's most vulnerable as you look at this graphic picture in the United States? What does the aggregate data tell you about the nature of gun violence in the United States? I know you're not a social scientist, but some things must leap out at you.
What it's really driven home to me is that it's not simply an urban issue, right? And it's not simply a mass shooting issue. People think of gun deaths in two ways often, and one is, you know, gang-related killings in the inner city, which many people feel happy to wash their hands of and think of as not real violence. And or they think of it as horrifying mass killings in schools or in workplaces, which are real violence but are anomalies and can't be pegged to any one thing or other. But if you look at the map that's associated with our interactive, you see it spreads across the nation in 49 of 50 states, and there are deaths in tiny towns all over the country that are murders or accidental deaths or police killings of suspects who using justifiable violence. But in all cases, what connects them is that guns were available and guns became part of that event, and someone ended up dead as a result.
Another revelation from this whole project of yours is, you know, who's watching the store? Who is, in a sense, the monitor of the growing numbers of gun deaths in the United States, or the just the pace of gun deaths in the United States? Does anyone keep track of these figures?
People do, but not in real time. And that was the real shocker of this project to me, is that the reason we are publishing this is because we thought someone else already was publishing this, and we couldn't believe that no one was. The CDC and the FBI both do keep track of deaths by gun in the United States, but they get those stats at the end of each year, and they publish them about a year later. So right now, you can get stats from the CDC, confirmed stats from 2009. You can get unconfirmed stats from 2010 and 2011, but those are aggregate yearly stats of people killed by guns. But the only real source for real-time data on gun deaths is the media. And so that's where all of our information is coming from. Each one of these little bodies you see on this interactive is linked to our original source, which in every case is a newspaper, magazine, or news website.
So on day 444, Walter Cronkite stopped his counting of the number of days the hostages were in custody in Iran. You don't have such an end date, and don't imagine there will be.
No, the hostages will never be released in this case, and Walter Cronkite will keep talking. I mean, that was the late 70s analog version of us republishing this graphic at the top of our table of contents every morning. And I don't foresee a time when we won't be doing that unless someone else with better data collection abilities takes up the mantle.
Dan Coy, senior editor at Slate and a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.